Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Galatians, the book of Galatians chapter 3, and I'll be reading beginning at verse 6, although our focus this morning will be on verses 15 through 18 of our text, but I will be reading for the sake of context beginning at verse 6. We find ourselves in the midst of a sermon series on the book of Galatians, and this morning in the middle of chapter 3. Keep in mind as well that in your bulletins there is an insert of this morning's message, an outline of the message, and you can use that as you follow along as well. But let's begin with the scripture reading of God's Word as we find it in Galatians chapter 3, beginning at verse 6 through verse 18. Let us listen carefully to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant Word. Just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness, know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, "In you shall all the nations be blessed." So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, "Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them." Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith. Rather, the one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree," so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. To give a human example, brothers, even with a man-made covenant, no one annuls it or adds to it once it has been ratified. Now the promises were made to Abraham and his offspring. It does not say, "and to offsprings," referring to many, but referring to one, "and to your offspring, who is Christ." This is what I mean. The law, which came 430 years afterward, does not annul a covenant previously ratified by God so as to make the promise void. For if the inheritance comes by the law, it no longer comes by the promise, but God gave it to Abraham by a promise. Thus the reading of God's Word as we find it this morning in Galatians 3. Once again this week, it was announced that housing rates for refinancing had dropped again to record lows. And all around the country, people are busy going through the process of refinancing their home loans. And those of you who have been through that process, either buying a home for the first time or taking advantage of a home refinance low rate, you know what it's like when you go to that title company to sign your papers. You sit in a room and you sign a paper and many papers of agreements that will be in place for some 30 years. The papers say that the bank will give you so much money to buy your house. On the other hand, you agree in your signing to pay it back in monthly payments for the next 30 years with either a small amount of interest and a certain amount as well of principal. Sometimes they'll even give you a stack of papers showing you each month-by-month payment and how much you will have paid off during those next 30 years. And then sitting in the room with you is that independent agent from the title company who tells you again and again, once this agreement is ratified, once this agreement goes into effect, no one can change it. The bank can't come along after 15 years and tell you that you need to pay more per month than what you agreed to. You cannot tell the bank in the midst of these 30 years that somehow you're going to pay less than what you've signed and agreed to pay. This agreement cannot be annulled unless the debt has been completely paid. We make covenants or agreements like this in life every day. But how much or how many times do you think about the fact that God has made a covenant with you? When you come here this morning, how much did you think about the fact that towards the end of this service, you will participate in a sign and a seal, a sacrament of that covenant that God has made with you? And have you thought about that if you have come here with the wrong understanding of what it is that that covenant means, if you have come with the wrong mindset in terms of why you should participate, you will make that sacrament meaningless and void as you participate. It is important this morning that you have the right understanding of what that means. And so this morning, as we go to our text and we look at verse 15, the Apostle Paul is reminding us of such an example. He tells us in that verse, "Let me give you a human example. Brothers, even with a man-made covenant, no one annuls it or adds to it once it has been ratified. Just like I described to you in the introduction this morning, when we think of man-made covenants between a bank, for example, and a homeowner, we think of a man-made covenant, and no one has the authority outside of, say, the government to annul it or add to it once it has been ratified. Once it has been sealed, once it has been notarized, it cannot change." But now the apostle is saying, that's a human example, and let's think of that in terms of a covenant that we have with God. Verse 16, "Now the promises were made to Abraham and his offspring." What promises is he talking about? The promises to Abraham and his offspring. Well, he spoke of those promises, and we read them a moment ago, especially in verse 6 of Galatians 3. In Galatians 3, verse 6, the Apostle Paul is quoting what took place in Genesis 15. In Genesis 15, Abraham was given a promise that he was going to have an heir, and that heir would bring about as many descendants as the stars in the sky. And Abraham is going to the Lord in Genesis 15, and he's saying, "How can you say I will have an heir when I am an old man, and yet I have no child, and my wife and I seem to be past the age of childbearing?" And God gives him this promise. He says, "Your servant will not be your heir, but you, through the child I give you, through the blessed seed that I have given you, will have as many descendants as the stars in the sky." And Abraham, we're told, believed God. 3 verse 6. He believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now, when we're told that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness, we know that there is more to what Abraham understood than the fact he is an older man and he's going to have a child. Abraham understands that the seed of promise that God has given him will provide righteousness for him. That somehow Abraham the sinner will come to know the salvation of God through the righteousness of the seed that God has promised him. And so he, by God's Spirit at work in him, comes to understand this and believe this, and God credits it to him as righteousness. So Paul in verse 16 is going to that promise made to Abraham, and notice how he speaks of it in verse 16. "Now the promises were made to Abraham and to who? His offspring." Paul tells us in the next part of the verse, "It does not say to his offsprings, referring to many, but referring to one." Why is the Apostle Paul making that point? because the Galatian church has been infiltrated with these Judaizers. And these Judaizers are taking hope in the Old Testament descendants of Abraham, the Israelites. And they're saying this promise to Abraham and his seed is being fulfilled or was fulfilled in the Jewish people. The descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and those that lived in the Old Testament in the nation of Israel. And so now as these Gentile believers are coming to faith in Christ, they want to say, look, we know you have expressed faith in Christ, but there's something more you need to do. You need to do things that will make you part of the many Old Testament Israelites, those who were raised and know that Abrahamic covenant by way of circumcision and certain laws, civil laws and judicial laws that you must keep and ceremonial laws. And so, as the Apostle Paul is addressing this issue, notice how he words it here in verse 16. Now, the promises were made to Abraham and his offspring, singular. It does not say, and to offspring, see? He's not just referring to many, many Israelite descendants, and to be saved, you have to become one of those. No, the Apostle Paul is emphasizing the singular, but he meant, as God gave it to Abraham, the one. The offspring singular, the one. And who is that one? Look at the end of the verse. And to your offspring, who is Christ. You see, what the Apostle Paul is reminding them of is this promise of Abraham and his offspring. And the fact that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness was pointing and fulfilled in God's Son, Jesus Christ. It was not fulfilled, that promise, in the many Israelites who lived in the land of Canaan and were driven into captivity, and now the Judaizers and the Jewish people who have hope again that God will bless their people and bless their land and restore their kingdom. No, what the Apostle Paul is saying to them, that promise to God's offspring was pointing to Jesus Christ, God's Son. God's Son, Jesus Christ, the Son of Abraham, who came and lived a perfectly righteous life. God's Son, the Jesus Christ, the Son of Abraham, who died on the cross and who paid for the sins of his people. Jesus Christ, the Son of Abraham, who rose again from the grave and is now seated on high in heaven. And in him, in his death and resurrection, by the power of God's Spirit, the promise to Abraham and his seed is fulfilled. Well, then who then are those offspring? The Apostle Paul at the end of chapter 3, the last verse, verse 29, tells us, and you are Christ, then, I'm sorry, and if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. The many is not the many Israelites. The many that are as many as the stars in the sky, yes, in the Old Testament, they were the Old Testament people of God. But that promise of Abraham was completely fulfilled in Jesus Christ, God's Son. And now all those who believe in Jesus Christ are the offspring of Abraham. All those who believe the promise and know that promise by faith, they are the ones who are as many as the stars in the sky that belong to him. That is the covenant God made with his people that has been ratified by the death and the resurrection of his Son. And the Apostle Paul is telling us in this verse, first by human example and now by God's instructions, that the covenant cannot be changed. It is the covenant that God has made with his people, with you. It was ratified on the cross, given to you through the gift of faith. as you have responded to that gift of faith, the righteousness of Christ has come to you. And this morning, as you prepare yourself to partake in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, you are a participant in the sign and seal of that covenant of grace. But did you know that if you do not have the right understanding of what that means, you can make that covenant promise, sign, and seal meaningless? Look what the apostle goes on to tell us in verse 17. This is what I mean. Notice how he starts out. He's going to make it clear what he means by explaining all of this so far. This is what I mean. The law, that is the law of Moses, which came 430 years afterwards, does not annul a covenant previously ratified by God. You see, that is what the Galatian believers are being taught. That is what has infiltrated amongst them. They have understood this promise to Abraham fulfilled in Christ, justification by faith. And now these Judaizers are coming along and saying, what about this Mosaic law? And they are misinterpreting the law. Instead of understanding the next step in terms of God's unfolding revelation, that he would save his people from Egypt by the blood of a Passover lamb in the Old Testament, that through God's law they would know, as we heard this morning, the three purposes of that law, that they are sinners before a holy God, that they need a Savior, and they would look to the sacrifices in terms of the anticipation of the coming of God's Son, Jesus Christ, and the understanding that the law is not for justification, but for a rule of life. These Judaizers have misunderstood it. They want to come along and say, okay, Gentile believers from Galatia, there's more you need to do. You need to become like us. You need to be circumcised. You need to participate in some of these ceremonies that we have. And if you do those things, then you can say you are a believer in Jesus Christ and one of Abraham's children. And they are taking portions of the Mosaic law and they want to apply it and say, these need to be followed before you can understand the promise and the fulfillment of that promise to Abraham. So what does Paul say? This is what I mean. The law, the Mosaic law, verse 17, which came 430 years afterward, does not annul a covenant previously ratified by God. God's covenant with Abraham can't be changed. God doesn't change the terms. As you think of signing 30 years of papers requiring for years of payment, no one can change that. That's what the escrow agent will tell you. God made this covenant with Abraham, this covenant of grace, that you are only saved by justification, by faith, that righteousness is given to you. And Paul is telling them that can't be changed. Because if you're saying that it's changed, then what you are saying is that the law given through Moses has changed that covenant. And guess what? Look how he ends that verse. And to make the promise to Abraham void. In other words, if you try to slip in something you do, if you try to slip in your own works into your understanding of God's grace, you make the covenant promise of God void, meaningless. You in your mind, you in your thoughts, if somehow you come to God and your understanding of his covenant of grace, which has come to us through Jesus Christ, that Christ did it all, and now you're going to say, but wait, there's something I need to do so that I can receive it. Or you want to give credit to yourself for what you have done. Paul tells us, you make that promise meaningless and void. Verse 18 sums it up. For if the inheritance comes by the law, if the inheritance comes by the law. The inheritance, of course, is the inheritance promise that God gave to Abraham, which is fulfilled in Jesus Christ, an eternal inheritance. That's what salvation is all about. For if the inheritance comes by the law, then it's no longer by the promise. If it comes by your misunderstanding of the law, by your works, then it no longer comes through the promise that God gave to Abraham, that it would only come by His grace. So he sums it up at the end. But God gave it to Abraham by a promise. That last verb that you see at the end of that verse, God gave it. That's in the perfect tense. And the perfect tense is unique in Hebrew. Instead of, say, the past tense, where God gave it in the past, but it doesn't have any meaning for us today. That's not the term Paul uses. Is he using the present tense, that now it's presently in effect, but not in the future or not in the past? That's not the term Paul uses. He uses the perfect tense. That means God gave it in the past, and its effects are ongoing, you see. It continues. It doesn't stop. God gave it to Abraham in the past, and He continues to give it to His people by a promise. And this is the warning of the Apostle Paul. This is the warning to his readers in Galatia. If you start adopting these practices where you have to do something, where you have to be circumcised, where you have to keep a law, you are going to cancel out the grace and the promise of God. When God made that promise of His grace of salvation to Abraham, when Abraham understood what it meant to believe and righteousness being given to him, Abraham understood that that promise was God's, that God would bring about the fulfillment of that promise, and no one could change it. It was there between God and His people. As you are gathered here this morning, Paul has told us that we, you, are sons of Abraham. And the promise to Abraham has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. You are gathered here with God's people as part of that fulfillment, as many as the stars in the sky. And the covenant that God has made with you cannot be changed. And it won't change. Not after 30, 40, 50 years, or forever. Like Abraham, you are born in sin. Like Abraham, being born in sin, you are a law breaker. If you try to keep the law on your own, in your own ability, you will always fail. But God, by His Spirit, has worked in your heart. God has softened your heart so that you have the faith of Abraham, that the righteousness of God has come to you in Jesus Christ, that He has paid for your sins. And this morning, as part of that covenant, you have the opportunity, by way of a sign and a seal, to participate in that grace. And yet, if you come here this morning with the wrong mindset, with the misunderstanding that somehow you think you're worthy, that somehow by your self-improvement this week, you deserve to come now. If somehow you're coming with the mindset that, yeah, I have that sin I struggle with, and this week I did a good job of giving it up, now I can come and participate because I'm good enough. If that's your thought process, you make this supper meaningless. You make the fulfillment of the promise of Abraham void. And you take away from what Christ did for you. Later in chapter 5, the Apostle Paul makes it clear what that means. In verse 2 of chapter 5, "Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision," that's what they were being told to do, to be circumcised, "Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that is he is obligated to keep the whole law. If you think that you have to keep one part of it to be saved, then you have to remember you have to keep it all to be saved, and you never will. You are severed from Christ," he tells them. "You would be justified by the law. If so, you have fallen away from grace." The Apostle Paul has reminded us through God's Word, through the inspiration of God's Spirit, that salvation is all of God, that we can do nothing for our salvation. And His covenant promise can't be changed. Don't let anyone tell you that it's something you have to do and that you can do it to be saved. Don't start thinking in your mind, "I did it. Now I can." You've got it wrong. No, it is all of Christ. And don't annul the promise of God that His grace is sufficient for you. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for our Savior who has come and fulfilled that promise to Abraham, Lord, our Savior who died on the cross and paid for our sins. As we come to you, O Lord, to worship, to sing praises, to participate in this sacrament, may we come, Lord, as sinners who know it is only by your grace. Help us, Lord, not to focus on ourself, but to focus on our Savior who did it all. May your Spirit encourage us that we belong to you, that we are of those sons of Abraham. Lord, that we shine in this world like stars in the sky, reflecting your glory and grace. We pray all of these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.